Turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 21. That's where we're going to be tonight as we continue our study in the book of Genesis. Isn't it awesome, like Pastor Bill said, that, you know, you hear different teachers come up here. It's all sharing the word, right? Especially at Calvary, going verse by verse and stuff. But every guy get a different personality, you know? Different experiences. And you know, some guys like certain teachers. Some guys don't like certain, you know. But God is a big God. And he wants to accommodate and communicate his truths to all of us. And that's why it's not just Calvary Chapel, right? When you hear, you know, on the radio, and it doesn't have to be necessarily K-Lite radio, but I do this to K-Lite radio, but God has gifted so many different people, Lord. And and you know what? Why? It's for you, so that you could be encouraged where you're at. And I've been blessed. I was at work last night. We started night shift. I'm driving. I was like, and I'm listening to Pastor Ed's message on represent, you know. And I've known Ed for many years, from when he and Kathy were serving in the nursery. And I'm just like, and with Ruben and Anthony, and I'm like, man, we are so blessed. I don't know if we're going to be blessed tonight. My wife might be blessed, but she'll understand what I'm saying. But anyway, they've been doing a great job going through the book of Genesis. And tonight we're in chapter 21. We're going to do 8 verses. And of course, this is the birth of Isaac. And so let's read it. Chapter 21 of Genesis, it says, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, 'God has made me laugh, and all who hear will laugh with me.' She also said, 'Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? For I have borne him a son in his old age.' So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned." Now, we're very familiar with this story where it's mentioned time and time again, Abraham is old. He's an old man. I mean, I think God is getting the point across to us. You know, verse 2, in his old age, Sarah says in his old age, he's 100 years old. I mean, this is an absolute miracle. And of course, Isaac, his name is laughter. And God is fulfilling this promise to Abraham and to Sarah, but this is after 25 years of walking with the Lord and waiting upon the Lord. And as Pastor Ed had shared last week, it's 25 years of a roller coaster ride journeying with the Lord. I mean, they just failed. They got a big failure there in Gerar before Abimelech the king, as our hero of faith, Abraham, lied again and turned in his wife, saying that that's my sister. And you know, as Pastor Ed was going over, that was the second time he had done it again in Genesis chapter 12, when God had called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. He begins to depart from his culture, his family, and everything for this promise that God has, that he's going to create a nation through his lineage, although his wife is barren. And unreal, he obeys, he believes. And he leaves Ur of the Chaldees, or Babylon, or where Iraq is. And he begins this journey with the living God. And his whole life is based on a promise. There's no church. There's no Bible. There's no ministry resources. There's no discipleship for him. There is nobody on the face of the earth that he and his wife Sarah, and he brings his entourage, Lot, and everybody with him. There's nobody on the face of the earth that he could go to or turn to get some kind of encouragement on this journey. He is going out, he and Sarah, in faith, based on God's promise to him that he is going to have a land, God's going to create a nation, and it's going to be an everlasting kingdom. Of course, you and I know that God is going to bring forth his son, Jesus Christ. And in Genesis chapter 12, it says, through you, in you, all the nations will be blessed. And this guy leaves Ur of the Chaldees, and he begins, but now we're in like 25 years later. But at the ending of chapter 12, as because of the famine, they go down to Egypt, and he already preset himself for failure, right? Because in his weakness, I mean, we find that, you know, Sarah, I mean, she was unreal. She was hot. She was 90 years old, but she was a good-looking woman. And as they were going to go journeying and to a land that they didn't know exactly where, the land of Canaan, they're going out in faith. And you can imagine leaving your homies behind, leaving the security behind. If you've ever been in another country, different languages, you know, he looks at his beautiful wife and he's like, man, we're going to get into trouble when we enter in any place, man. The men with affluence and authority, they're going to want you. And that means they're going to want to kill me. So let's make a deal right now, you know, and they kind of make this covenant in cahoots in Genesis 12 that, hey, you know what? You actually are my half-sister, so whenever we go and if they, you know, just tell them I'm your brother. Otherwise, they'll kill me, you know. And fear is something that Abraham struggled with. It was a weakness in his flesh. And, of course, he did it in Egypt with Pharaoh. God interceded, delivered them, you know. And then last week in chapter 20 with Abimelech, he did it again. He had weaknesses. She had weaknesses. You know, and already preset in their mind, if A happens and the stress gets to A, you know what I mean? I got the back door of B over here. We're going to have to, like, lie to get out of this. That's what I love about the Word of God. It just lays it out, warts and all. This is our father of faith. This is not some disconnect story like, oh, it's like Genesis. Oh, we're in Genesis. That's so long ago, you know. No, the Bible says in Romans that you and I are the children of Abraham. Genesis means the beginning. You go back to your identity. This is our heritage. He is the father of my faith. So we're not just reading about some Bible character 4,000 years ago that I'm so disconnected to, I can pick up a few truths and apply to my life. No, this is my father of faith. There's a connect. You and I are worshiping God tonight because of him. And even though he had failed, and at least two times, you know, that's recorded, he might have failed, you know, in other times too. And Sarah, God loved them. And he didn't even realize the spiritual warfare going around him. But you and I both know, right? We don't battle against flesh and blood. It was the devil orchestrating the fears, orchestrating, you know, everything so he can dilute and pollute the line of Christ. But there was no conference that Abraham and Sarah can go to. There was no midweek church, you know, and fellowship. He was just dealing with the reality that he was insecure, his wife was beautiful, and this, you know, like all of us, we have weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. We can act like we're all spiritual, this and that, and yeah, praise the Lord. And the devil knows where we're weak. You could be a Christian 30 years, 20 years, 20 months, but there's things in our life when we are pressed by the enemy or circumstances that we, you know, we hit that plan B button. The Bible says that there is a sin that so easily entangles us in Hebrews. There's certain things that you and I wouldn't tempt, you know, maybe you deal with other temptations and things, and you're like, oh, and I look at them like, oh man, I'm not into ice or this or that or money or greed, but then there's something else I might be dealing with, you know what I mean? Every one of us has it. It could be pride, unforgiveness, getting to position yourself in the church, trying to, you know, we have all these stuff that nobody knows. We have weaknesses. But here in chapter 21, we find in spite of our weaknesses and failure, God in his great mercy, this is how awesome he is. This is why Sarah can say, laugh with me. It's like she can't believe after everything they've been through, 25 years, all the places they've gone, the line, the failure, the comebacks, how God has interceded even, you know, with Pharaoh and Abimelech. They feared God more than them. They misrepresent. And now God is going to still use her and bring this to pass? It's a great encouragement for us. Because, you know, you are going to fail at times. People around you will fail because we're human beings. We're sinners. We don't want to. That's the difference when you're born again, right? Because now I don't want to sin against God. I don't want to. Because he's changed my heart. He's forgiven me. I want to follow him. Just like Abraham, I want to follow you, Lord. I'll leave it all. And this guy left it all behind. That's why it says there, in Genesis 15:6, that it was accounted to him as righteousness. He wasn't just waha talking about faith. He actually moved. He made a decision. He packed up and left, even though he didn't know where he was going, Hebrews tells us. Looking for a city whose builder and architect was God himself. But he had a weakness. And God, you know, as Pastor Ed was going over, I mean, he even used Abimelech, a pagan king, to rebuke him. He learned his lesson. But you know what? It didn't stop the work of God in his life and the calling of God. The Bible tells us in Philippians, God is faithful. He who begins a good work in you, let me tell you, he is able to complete it. I was listening to a testimony, and this is why testimonies are so encouraging. There was probably last month, I think it was last month. It was pretty recent. And sometimes in our job, they call us out to go to the neighbor island. We work night shift, day shift as some of the peers. So this one day, we went to Kauaihai Pier, you know, kind of like, you know, we got to work the pier. And it's a long job, like 12-hour job. But the last flight from Kona now after COVID is like 8:30. Before, I always knew the last flight was like 9:50. So we're in Kauaihai at the pier trying to load this barge. And it's like, it's 8 o'clock. I'm like, bro, we got to go already. We loaded everything up, got to lash it down. But some of the younger guys are kind of freaking out. Hey, we're not going to make the flight. We got to go. You know, if you miss the flight, you can sleep at the pier. Whatever. You know how that goes. Guys go out partying. So I'm not going to do that. But I'm just like, oh, I'm like, don't worry about it. You know, we're gonna, you know, be able to catch the late night flight. They go, oh, James, no, it's changed now. It's like, it's 8:10 now. It's 40 minutes to get to Kona. We might not make it. Anyway, make a long story short, we got stuck. And I had the worst attitude. I couldn't believe we got stuck. I'm like, no way. You mean we're gonna sleep over here tonight and be at work in Oahu at 7 in the morning, catch the 6 o'clock flight, and go straight to work after going crazy pace for 12, 13 hours. And I had this bad, but anyway, God blessed. And it was good. We had to stay over. But when we came home the next day, right, we had a 1 o'clock start. But when you get in your truck after, you know, the long night, you get in, and you're driving, and now you hit traffic like 8 o'clock to go home, and you're just saying, but I listened to Focus on the Family was on in the parking lot, airport parking lot. It just happened to be that time where this testimony of, and I'm sure maybe if you heard it, Lindsay Snyder. How many of you ever heard of Lindsay Snyder? Nobody? Check her out. One of my favorite resources. I encourage Christians. I used to want to share it up here before every service. It's called I Am Second. I don't know if you ever heard of that, I Am Second. They give their testimonies. They just sit in a white chair. All kind of people from all walks of life. Check it out, I Am Second. Great testimonies. Well, Lindsay Snyder was giving her testimony on Focus on the Family. And so I'm stuck in traffic. I'm like, I just can't. But anyway, she is the daughter. She's the CEO of In-N-Out Burger. And many of you know In-N-Out Burger was, you know, a Christian family. They own it. And they've suffered tragic airplane crash. They went through a lot. But they're a well-known Christian family, famous franchise. And anyway, she was the youngest of all the daughters, kind of her dad's favorite. And he passed away and she was 17. And anyway, she basically, although she grew up in the church and they're a well-known influential family, she got hooked up with guys, and probably she had money too. So guys, you know, all the cuties going to go check her out, right? So by the time she was 30 years old, she was married and divorced like 4 times. She got on drugs. She got abused. I mean, her life was, she said, in my family, my sisters and my mom and everybody, you know, she felt so judged because she was like the black sheep. She had made, as a Christian, she made bad decisions with relationships. That was her weakness, is with guys. And you know, with your chick, it's like private, good-looking guy, you know, good guy, hook up, you know, I don't need work. It's like, you know, but she was used and abused, and she was looking for love, and she was all messed up, but she was a Christian. So she goes through this, and she thinks that God could never use her life anymore. She's brought so much shame to the family. And because she grew up in the church, and she had, you know, all of that, and, you know, she got, you know, drown herself, drugs, alcohol, divorce, is just this cycle you got to hear. But anyway, she was so depressed. She thought she was going to end her life, and she was down and out. And she said, you know what? I was crying out. It was so dark for me. It was such a failure with my life. And she said, the Lord Jesus appeared to me when I was on the floor. She said he appeared, not so much physically, but she could sense him like he was there. And he just assured her that, Lindsay, I love you. I can forgive you. And you know what? Although you've let everybody down, you didn't let me down. I still have a plan for your life. And that's been her ministry. So to make a long story short, she got up and it inspired her to get, you know, she got accountability, discipleship, got right with the Lord. And, you know, now she's the CEO of In-N-Out Burger. But the one thing is, and it was time to, you know, for her to be restored. But the one thing that she said as I was going home, and I want, this is the main thing here tonight, is that she said, that, you know, the story of the prodigal son, we can all identify that with that when we're not saved, when we're living a life of sin, and, you know, we come to the Lord broken, humbled, you know, and God receives us, our sins are forgiven, he gives us the Holy Spirit, we begin a new life. And she said, we understand that, but she said, you know what there is? The biggest need in the church is that when you're a Christian and you backslide or you make mistakes because of weaknesses in your flesh, relationships, money, whatever, and you fail, you think you failed the Lord or you failed the church, she said, you know what? There's nobody there after that. It's like there's no hope for you. In fact, people in the church will condemn you. So people, they keep silent, you know? You can't really go and share with somebody, hey, man, I'm struggling with this depression. I'm struggling with alcohol. Oh, I can go to the class, but if I go to the class, then everybody goes, no, you know? So it's like, well, again, you know, wear my hat down. But you got to get to the point where you don't even care, you know what I mean? But she said, you know what? And so she said, just like with me, I'd failed, so I thought God would never use me. I wasted my family name. I've wasted all of this. And she said, there's so much wasted talent in the world. There's many Christians that are not in church. And they're dealing with guilt that God can't use them because of their sin. But she said, God assured me that he can still forgive. And he can still do a great work. And he could still restore you if you repent. There's nothing new under the sun that he hasn't seen. And when he saved you before, he'll continue to save you. And I thought, that's so true. We are always asking for help. Oh, we need this, we need that, we need... You know what? There is a lot of talent out there, but the enemy, like in Abraham's case, he was in spiritual warfare. He didn't even know it. Dealing with the fears and all of that, because the devil was trying to get in the lineage of Christ. But nobody was telling him, oh, you're a brother, you know, Ephesians chapter 6, you know, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. It's like, you never even had the Bible, you know what I mean? And so although Abraham and Sarah, they went off course in their walk with the Lord, like you and I might go off course. Know this, just like Lindsay Snyder, if you come to the Lord, honestly, even tonight, God will restore you. And that good work that he's begun in you, he'll complete it. And one day, as you go on with the Lord, you're going to be like my daughter, like Tom Brady. Remember Tom Brady when he won the Super Bowl, the first Super Bowl? I'm a football guy, so. Remember, the guy comes out of nowhere, right? He was the backup quarterback. He leads them. And I was doing an outreach in Iowa. I'll never forget, in the snow. They played the Rams. The Rams were a big favorite. Anyway, Tom Brady, this quarterback for the New England Patriots, nobody really heard of, brings them down. They score. They win. They upset the greatest show on turf, Rams, which I was going for Kurt Warner and everything. I was at a youth outreach, make a long story short. But do you remember Tom Brady is up on the podium and all the confetti is coming down? And he's literally going, you got to go look at it like in on YouTube. And he's going like this. And he's just got this joy. He can't believe this is happening to him. He's just going like this. And he's so young in that. That was his first Super Bowl. Like, who would ever thought? He was MVP. Who would ever thought? He came out of nowhere. He leads the team. And all the confetti is coming down. And all of his, you know, heartaches and heart. And he's just going like this. And he's not a believer. I'm not saying he's a believer. But that image, I was thinking when Sarah said, laugh with me. You know, he's just so overwhelmed. It's so surreal that he is actually the MVP. They won the suit. He's looking at his sisters and he's like, you know? But can you imagine if you continue on in the Lord, I guarantee you and me, not in this life, the promises that God has for us, when we go to heaven, when we see Jesus face to face, when we see him as we are known, we are going to know, all of our loved ones that have gone before us, this is going to be real when the Lord comes back to rule and reign in righteousness. Right now, you cannot see it. It's just a promise. But when it happens, we're going to be like this. It's like, I don't even know. That's why, you know, Mercy Me sings that song. I can only imagine. I don't know what I'm going to do. But I'll tell you what, it's going to blow you away. You know why? Because God is faithful. Genesis 21, God is faithful. The Bible tells us that even when we're faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And so, you know, for the Lord to visit Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. I mean, you can go weeks in that. Lord, the Lord visited Sarah after they blew it with Abimelech. I mean, I'm not talking about a little, you know, Abraham, he was scared. Yeah, take my wife. No, you don't realize, the Messiah, you're going to mess everything up. If Abimelech has sex with Sarah, it's you know, the whole God's plan for his son, for the nations, for the creation of Israel. This thing is, God had to intervene. I mean, they really almost blew it. But that's the grace of God. God intervened in a dream. And God can do this. We have no idea how many times God has bailed you and I out, you know. We have no idea how bad things could have got, you know. But again, it shows you, whenever you read the Bible, the one thing about me, what you want to know, whether it be Genesis, Revelation, Philippians, Old, New, whoever is teaching it, women's study, men's study, youth study, the one thing I always tell people is, number one, if you want to grow, look at the character of God. What does the Bible tell me about this invisible God that I'm following? And through this scripture, what we get is that God is powerful. Like, he interceded with this powerful man, Abimelech, don't touch her, you're a dead man. God is faithful. But what I love, like Lindsay Snyder said, is God is merciful. You know how much God loves you? It's amazing. And to the degree that you put your faith in what he says about you is to the degree that your life will make a difference in this world. Otherwise, you're just going to walk around like everybody else, especially the days we live in, grumbling and complaining. But the Lord came to Sarah, notice, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken. God said it. Remember back in Genesis 18, God came to them and he met with, God appeared to Abraham and Sarah and the Lord himself. And they said, by this time next year, she's going to have a son. And remember, she was kind of eavesdropping and she was laughing. And they said, oh, in fact, let me read it for you so I don't... Genesis 18, this was about a year later than Genesis 21. It says, they said in verse 9, then they said, where is Sarah your wife? So he said, speaking of Abraham, here in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And behold, Sarah your wife shall have a son. Sarah was listening in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. Her ship had sailed a long time ago. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? And this is a key verse right here, verse 14 of chapter 18. Is anything too hard or difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. She lied. And he said, no, but you did laugh. So now the time has come, and God is faithful, just like he said he would. God's promises. Remember, that's all that Abraham and Sarah have. They don't have a Bible. They don't have midweek Bible study, Sunday evening Bible study. They don't have K-Late radio. They have nothing. There is no church on the face of the earth. Their whole life, from the time that they get up to the time they go to sleep, to their whole desire and their whole ambition as they left Ur of the Chaldees to follow God, is promise. Whatever God has promised them, he's acting upon it. That's all that they have, is these promises. That's it. It's not like he has devotional every morning going through the Old Testament. There's no record yet. But what he does have is the promise of God. That God said that he's going to create a nation and a great nation, and through him, all the earth will be blessed. And that's what he said, right, in Genesis 12. It said, now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I'll show you. Notice this is all promises. Notice the I wills. Verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. It's often, you know, referred to nowadays. I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse him who curses you. And notice, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. In you. What does that mean? In your seed. It's like, bro, I haven't had a kid all this time. You're going to use me? But the deal is, I got to leave this past life behind. I got to leave everything that I've been comfortable with, all my security, my family, and we're going to trust you in this promise. He made a decision and he left. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, apart from faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You know, you can sit at church, you can say, I love Jesus. I mean, I used to be like that, right? But if you don't move from your past lifestyle, if you're going to continue to live in Ur of the Chaldees, he would have never experienced this amazing life that God had for him. And the blessing wasn't for him personally, although his life would be tremendously blessed, and Sarah. But what the purpose was to be a blessing, not only to God himself and represent God, but his life will become a blessing to the rest of the world. He'll be a conduit for God to bless other people and eventually bring Jesus Christ. This is why there's gifts. This is why there's talents. This is why you're here. God wants you to know that you are chosen. If you'd believe that, but if you're going to hang out in the world and hang out in the Ur of the Chaldees and all these promises are still distant from you, then you know what? You're not going to experience it. You know, we might like, oh, Abraham, how can he turn in his wife? I mean, I know she was good looking and everything. Like, it's some insecurities with that. And it can go vice versa, right? You're married to a good looking husband. I mean, you got some insecurities when you go work. And we all struggle with stuff. But nonetheless, they moved. They made a decision. They changed their life. They repented. They followed God. It wasn't perfect because they're growing. But let me tell you, in chapter 22, it's epic. Because that's when he believes God enough that God would raise his son from the dead. It's called growth. But it's based on the promises of God. If God says it, then God's going to do it. And notice, he did exactly what he said. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter, one of my favorite verses, is that we have, for by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. This is Peter. This guy's a physical guy. You know, impulsive. Kind of, I can identify, you know, not me, myself. I see guys down at the docks look like Peter, maybe. It's a physical guy, you know, probably wasn't the most articulate person, wasn't the most educated. But in his letter, he uses words like precious. Not like precious from the Lord of the Rings kind of guy. But precious, magnificent, this big tough guy. He says, you know what's precious? Not the heirloom Hawaiian jewelry up and down my arm and stuff. I gotta, because this, you know, Tutu's auntie passed down to me. It's loaded. You gotta stay in the safety deposit. That, you know, you keep things you love precious. You take care of it. Peter said, you know what's precious? Like Abraham, is the promises of God. They're on the table for you. Do you know that when you look at the promises of God, it's recorded, there's either from 3,000 promises of God to up to 7,000 plus promises of God. Go look it up. I think one of the, the Bible Gateway says there's 5,467 promises of God. You have books, right? Devotionals, 365 days, 365 promises. Well, you know what? You can get like 10 promises a day if you want. It's amazing. You see, but we are not looking at the promises of God many times. Maybe because we failed, maybe because this, maybe because so-and-so thinks I'm like this, or I think I'm never going to amount to. This is what Lindsay Snyder is saying. But you know that God is for you. If God be for you, the Bible says, who can be against you? And when he makes a promise, it's more than enough. A promise is a declaration or assurance that one will do a particular thing or that a particular thing will happen. It's to assure someone that one will definitely do, give, or arrange something, undertake, or declare that something will happen. Right? I mean, you and I think when you die, you're going to go to heaven, right? I mean, we just take kind of, you know, we just lackadaisical, oh yeah, we're going to go to heaven. That's what I believe. It's the promise that God, you know, to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. He's the resurrection and the life. He who believes in him shall not perish but have eternal. So we look forward to that. But in tomorrow morning when I'm dealing with my stuff, you know what? A lot of times I don't trust in the Lord's promises. I pull in Ishmael or I do this. You know, I'm doing all these other kind of shenanigans. Then you wonder, well, wow, I don't have a peace. There's promises for you and I. Just think of all the promises. I just love that he will never leave me or forsake me. Go this week. Maybe your homework. Go look in Ephesians chapter 1. In him, by him, and through him. Adoption, inheritance, all these things. Sealed with the Holy Spirit. Just make a list. We'll be so amazed. And the person that's promising you this is not your husband, not your wife, not your boss, not your best friend. It's not definitely Biden or Green or typical politicians that make a declaration they're going to do all this, but they don't have the ability to perform it because they're men. We don't have the ability to perform it because we fail, even in our vows sometimes. But you know who always is faithful? Is God himself, Jesus himself, 100%, 100%. And so the promises of God, they're magnificent. This is what they held their whole life on, and now it's becoming a reality. And so she conceives and bears a son in his old age, and I love it, at the set time with which God has spoken to him. It means God had set this time, but it's 25 years later. I mean, he went into Hagar. Yeah, he had a kind of, I mean, they're going to deal with that drama next week. Had Ishmael. They meant well, but, you know, they waited. See, this is the promise. I mean, this is the problem with the promises of God. It's the timing of God. See, because we have a different time economy in our human brain. God does not operate the way we do. Many of his promises are in the future. In fact, we might not experience them until we die. That's what it says in Hebrews. Some have suffered, but they embrace these promises from afar. That's where martyrs have gone before us. People have died in their faith. Because this world didn't mean anything. They're putting their hope in where the builder and maker is God himself. They knew this life was passing by. And even if they didn't receive all the blessings in this life, just to have those promises, they knew. It's going to become a reality. And so it says at the set time of which God had spoken to him. You know what? The Bible tells us in Isaiah, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And remember, speaking of his second coming in 2 Peter chapter 3, it says, "Do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved." I love when he throws in the beloved. Peter, rough guy, beloved. "That with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about what? His promise. As some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but all to come to repentance." We want everything now. You know, we live in, especially in America, right? We're so spoiled. We get so much, right? We're hungry. We like eat. We, you know, we like everything now. We this, we that. We, you know, that's why we're consumers all the time, stuck by all these vices. My phone, I got to, you know, we're just like triggered by all these impulses. And people act like that in the church. They want everything now. When I was a pastor here, it's like, it's amazing. Guys are like, "Oh, my wife leaving me, oh, my husband." And I was like, "Bro, I'm going to pray for you. I cannot guarantee your wife will come back. But I can't guarantee you're going to go to heaven, your sins are forgiven, and God will never leave you or forsake you, and he's going to work in this, and she might come back. But if you want me to tell you she's going to come back tomorrow after all that you did, that ain't going to happen. You know what I mean? Or someone, my husband is like this. He goes, I was like, hey, I cannot tell you. I mean, I hate to say you made a bad decision to get in this marriage. Or like Lindsay, you made 4 marriages, or you get 6 kids, or whatever your situation is. I can't see it's going to dissolve tonight. Your boss going to take you back tomorrow. Mom, you rip off her because you're on drugs. I mean, I cannot, but I guarantee you the one thing, God loves you. And his promises, you can be forgiven, and he'll work in your life. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And he'll heal you, and over time, but I cannot guarantee, but some people, they want it all now. Oh, if God doesn't come true now and give me this and give me that, then you know what? I tried the Lord. I'm already back door. it's like Abimelech and Pharaoh's like, honey, the stress is on. Just come on, just tell him already. We've made a plan. Tell him I'm your brother. Otherwise, we panic. We're weak. But at the set time, God has a set time for all of us. And I hope this is not just some fictional story. Well, yeah, it's true, I know, but it's, 4,000 years ago, James. But I live in Hawaii, Honolulu today. We get all the craziness and chaos, and look what's happening in Israel, all this kind of stuff. How does this pertain to me? It's just another story. I know Isaac laughed, they had a child, they was old. No, you don't understand. It's the God of Isaac. It's the God of Abraham. There's someone greater than you, than Isaac, with you. It's the Lord. And so it's at the right time. And maybe you're struggling about that. Maybe you've been waiting for, sometimes our kids, they backslide. They end up, terrible jam up, doing things. I mean, even as Christians, right, you might get yourself in a situation that you're like, I can't even believe I'm doing this right now. You know what I mean? But you know what? God can still deliver you, still work in your life. Maybe you're a parent praying earnestly for your kids to come back to the Lord, or your husband, or whatever situation. Just keep praying. Keep praying. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. God is faithful, because he will come through at the right time. Timing is everything, right? You get one job, you get this, you get that. You play sports, volleyball, you're the setter, quarterback, the timing. You can have, 6'5", 230, run a 4.4, throw the ball 90 yards, but, bro, what timing? You throw the ball to the wrong person at the wrong time, pick 6 all the way, right? Or you're a pitcher, you can throw really, really hard, 105 miles an hour, but man, your timing is so off, your ball literally, you're always walking, you're no good already. It's like, timing, business, timing, right? When the timing is all lined up, it's like, wow. And you know what? God is always on time. In your life, he'll always be on time. Never late, but he'll never be early. Trust in him. Trust in his precious and magnificent promises. Because his thoughts and his ways are not our ways. 1,000 years to him is like 24 hours. Isn't that crazy? That's why he says our life is but a vapor. The older I get, the more gray hair and everything. All my kids, I work with my son's classmates. That's crazy. They call me uncle. I get offended. I used to get offended. Okay, uncle, I get them. I'm like, bro, you can call me uncle. Give me the sledgehammer right now. I still can go. Then my wife's like, why are you doing that? Daddy, you are there. That's someone, Zach's classmates. Then one time I was looking at the shuttle van. I'm like, wow, all these guys there. Okay, uncle, take care. I'm just like, don't call me uncle. That's terrible. Then I look at them. I'm like, bro, they're all around late 20s like that. I am their uncle like that, Just our pride and stuff like that. But time isn't it going by so fast? And look how faithful the Lord is to his promise. God is faithful. Hold on to his promises. And of course, he named the son Isaac. And the amazing thing is he circumcises Isaac when he was 8 days old, 8 days old, as God had commanded him. I mean, this is amazing. An infant. I mean, the fact that she gives birth, right? There's no hospital. There's not Kapiolani Men's, and you know, I mean, a Women and Children's Center. There's no OBGYN, you know. There's no prenatal. I mean, so many things could have happened through her pregnancy. But she gives birth to a healthy baby boy at the right time, in the right place. That's amazing. And then Abraham, his obedience to God, he circumcises this infant son, which is not easy. You would think most guys would say, my wife will do that. Let my wife change the diapers and do that. I don't like circumcision. It's a little bit bloody and stuff. God is saying, no, you as a spiritual leader, as a husband, as a father, you engage and participate in the life of your son. Abraham, you're going to do the circumcision. Well, later on, the priest's going to do the circumcision, but now there's no more priesthood. In fact, he is prophet, priest, he's everything, right? Even with Abimelech, I mean, God said, you know, told Abimelech, the prophet, he's like, do you have another prophet? This guy just lied to me. Yeah, this is the only prophet. But the fact is, he obeyed God and he engaged himself and he did the kind of the dirty work, but it's because he loved his son. And this is a whole other thing. I was listening to the Pat Zukerin, and he had this lady that wrote all these books about history. And you know the Greeks and the Romans, you know who are the spiritual leaders? Were the men. He said this whole notion, she did all this data, it's new. It's relatively new after the last 100 years that women have now become the spirit. Before was always the men. And it's amazing, like warriors and stuff, they'll take the sons and they're the spiritual leaders. But I just thought this was amazing that Abraham circumcised, he engaged, he was there. And I'm so thankful when I see my kids, my two sons with their kids, they're engaged. You know, some guys, I know, because I was in the children's ministry, I see them drop off. They're there because the wife is dragging them there. I mean, praise the Lord that they come on church on Sunday, throw on the clothes, come in and do their thing. But you know what? Not Abraham. He understood the blessing of the promise of his own son, and he's 100 years old. 100 years old. But let me tell you, having this son, they were revitalized. And in great joy, he circumcised his son. And you can imagine the gratitude that God would still use him and fulfill his promise in spite of his weaknesses. Now, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. And here we'll end here. And Sarah said, God has made me laugh. And all who hear will laugh with me. She also said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, for I have borne him a son in his old age? She is blown away. Remember a year before that, she laughed with a kind of negative laugh. You know when somebody says, oh, you know what? By this time next year, you're going to be, you know, in Cancun doing all this, you're going to be, it's like, yeah, all right, you know, that'll never happen, you know. It's like, that's the kind of laughter she had when she was eavesdropping in Genesis 18, like, oh, yeah, this time next year, like, yeah, that's right. See, my husband, the Bible says in Romans 4, is as good as dead, like dead, you know, it's like, and me, my womb, my ship has sailed a long time ago. Yeah, all right. See, she had that kind of attitude in Genesis 18. But now, to experience the surreal moment she gave birth. That means she went through the whole process. 90 years old. But again, she is beautiful, you know. I don't know how they did it. Like Jacqueline Smith, you know, some of these guys. Sophia, you remember Charlie's Angels? Somebody, that's how old I get. Jacqueline Smith, she still looked like she's like 30. But anyway, some, you know, just they have it. But anyway, she had it. But here she's getting birth, you know, her body's changing. She went through the whole deal, no prenatal, no other, gives birth. I mean, This is joy. This is laughter with great joy. The kind of laughter like, you can't believe this is happening kind, you know? Have you ever experienced that? Sometimes you stop in your life to think that you're here in church on Sunday night. Some of you, you know, if you go back 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 15 months, it'll make you laugh. The people that are doing ministry, they're just sinners saved by grace, just like you. If you knew their testimony, if we all knew it, we would be laughing hysterically. I haven't laughed hard like that. Have you had a big laugh like that? Like when your stomach almost gets cramp and stuff? You almost catch asthma because you're wheezing. You're like, ah, you're like crying. It's so funny. It's like, ah. I mean, if we knew what God had to do to get us all here and to continue to love us and see us through and be there, His mercies are new every single day, we would laugh. If you only knew the person to your right or to the left, their whole story, you'd be like, that's amazing. I'm like, oh, Lord, the joy that Sarah has. And she said, God has made me laugh. Not man, not my shenanigans of having Hagar come in and go do your deal, we get this. You know, that would never make you. This is a God thing. It's a miracle, never been done before. Good is that everybody knows that this is the Lord. And when you follow the Lord and keep His promises, even if it's a long time, God is faithful. And one day, you're going to laugh with joy. You're going to like, I can't even believe I'm doing this. This is amazing. That's the kind of God we serve. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And she said, God has made me laugh. God has brought this joy, not my husband, not my girlfriend, my boyfriend, my wife, my job, my this, my that. God is faithful in His promises. God died for me. God rose again. I'm going to see Him face to face. I see dimly like in a mirror. 1 Corinthians 13, one of my favorite verses. But then I shall see Him, Paul writing, face to face. And I shall know Him even as I'm known. What Paul was saying was, you know what, as all the maturity you can get, you know, about the definition of love, he said, as mature as I am, because he's basically encouraging the Corinthians to grow up, but he says, even in the greatest maturity on earth, it's nothing. It's just like smoke and mirrors. I only get a glimpse, but then I'm going to see Him. That's joy. And notice she can't keep it to herself. She said, everyone who hears, they're going to laugh with me. And they can't believe that Sarah is like breastfeeding. I mean, she's going to go out in the community. People are just going to be like, wow, this is unreal. Yeah, I can't believe this, Sarah. She's breastfeeding. It's just unreal. And I could just picture, she was just so proud, nourishing her son that was promised. The joy. That's why the Bible tells us, right? Eye is not seen, ear is not heard. It hasn't entered into the heart of man. Paul writes, all that God has in store for those that love Him and are called according to His purposes. So the Bible says, for the present sufferings, Paul tells everyone, they're not worthy to be compared to the glory that's awaiting. It's the promise. The joy of the Lord, Nehemiah said, that's your strength. How are you going to go on tomorrow? How am I going to get up and go to work? How am I going to deal with all of this? Cost of living, responsibilities, all of this. You know, we all get down. It's the promises of God. We have the Lord. He'll never leave us. We have His magnificent and precious promises. And then verse 8, the end in this, like giant luau. You know, our first kid, you showed up all out baby luau 1 year. I mean, it was unreal. But after all that, it was like, next thing you know, you're at Sand Island Park with next kid. We're like, potluck at Sand Island Park with my family. It's like, we spent all our money on the first baby luau. After that, I'm sorry, guys. It was literally Sand Island. And you know who helped set me up was Victor Mark. Victor was with me. But that's a whole nother story. But anyway, so verse 8, and we close with it. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on that same day that Isaac was weaned. And this is, he's about 2 or 3 years old. That's, you know, weaned is when they go from the nene milk to they're going to eat poi and rice and Vienna sausage and egg or something like that, you know what I mean? It's like they're growing up now. And it's a special moment when the child is now not dependent completely, you know, on the nene milk or the mother's milk. The child is growing. Isaac is getting stronger. Why? Because his father, Abraham. My dad was old, bro. He looked like my grandpa. I was so embarrassed of my dad. He had one bus-up car, too, always. I used to literally, my dad used to look like my grandpa in elementary, you know, when they come pick you up. And he used to have, like, a clunker car. And I used to make, like, I dropped the pencil all the time. Oh, I dropped the pencil. Like, we go by the bus stop. And I love my dad. He was married 8 times. He was a good man, but he looked like my grandpa. You know, he had me when he was old. He messed up marriages, but I love my dad. But I was embarrassed. He looked like my grandpa. But, you know, I can imagine Abraham. He had a special relationship with Isaac. Although he was 100 years old, he had life. He participated in his son's spiritual growth, circumcised and raised him. I want to encourage you dads. We have some amazing dads. Like I'm telling you, Scott Yamashita has got to be one of the amazing dad. Good fun, faithful, all that. Awesome. We praise the Lord for the dads here in our fellowship, but there is a time as the child is growing up and is weaned where, you know, the child can kind of eat on their own and stuff like that. And that's where we're going to end. It's like, you know, there comes a time in our life, like we can come to church and hear Bible study and say, oh, that was good and stuff. But there's going to come a time, like in the book of Hebrews, because that was the whole point, right? They're drifting away from the Lord. They weren't growing in the Lord. They're going back into Judaism, is they needed to grow up. They needed to grow up spiritually. You know, there comes a time where it talks about, you know, there is the milk of the word, the elementary things of the Lord, it says in Hebrews. But Paul said, by this time, you should be teachers. You've had a lot of Bible study. You get a lot of media around. I mean, you're full already. It's time to grow up. It's time to step out in faith. And I want to encourage you, for all of us, even for myself, it's so easy to kind of kick back and just, I want everything comfortable. But the Abraham-Sarah life with Isaac, I mean, it wasn't perfect, and they had their lapses and weaknesses, but you got to say they went for it. They stepped out in faith. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. I want to encourage you. If it's a women's study, a men's study, or I don't know what. Whatever it is in your world, stimulate yourself, challenge yourself. Ask older ladies if you're a young lady, or ask older guys, how do I study the Bible? That's what I, you know, how do I get involved? Come to men's prayer. Listen, you know, just be around. Just getting stimulated so that you might grow in the Lord. Why? Is it because God needs you so bad? And no, he's going to complete his work. Why? So you can be like, after 25 years, you'd be like, oh, this is amazing. Exceedingly abundantly beyond all I could ask or think. This is, I can't, I have no words. I'm just going to praise the Lord, you know. That's what God wants to do. So others will know that, you know what, this is not normal. This is supernatural. That's the Lord is with them. And next week we'll get into that, where even Abimelech and Phicol, even they realize, hey, Abraham, you might have messed up before, but the Lord's with you. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. We thank you for your precious and magnificent promises that we have in you. It's yea and amen. And we thank you for one another, Lord. We thank you for the work of your Holy Spirit. And if there's anybody here that has not made a decision, they're still in the world or back in Ur of the Chaldees or Babylon, but they hear your Spirit convicting, not condemning, and they're going to make a decision that I don't want to live for myself anymore. I don't want to live according to the course of this world, but I want to be a child like Abraham. I want to be a child of faith. Lord, may your Spirit work in our hearts, in our fellowship, and may you remind us this week that you will never leave us or forsake us, and we are your workmanship, created in you for unto good works that you have predestined for us. Even this week, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.